myself for the courage to not be afraid.
Every now and then I was close to death, and I was afraid, and I lived through it. For instance, on my honeymoon, my husband and I decided we would go all the way through Europe. We would go down from France to North Africa, go to Marrakesh, where Churchill always went to paint, and then we would go across to Libya, where Jews lived in caves, and then from there go to what was then called Palestine. And when we got to Libya, we went inside the caves, because I was also traveling with journalist's credentials. So I had a press card, and I also had a fellowship to make a study. So the study was of women under fascism, communism, and democracy. But I was also on my honeymoon, which was a working honeymoon. I loved working, so it was not working, it was pleasure. So we get to one of these caves, we go inside and meet the Jews who are yearning to get to the Holy Land, and we're traveling with the head of the joint. You know what the joint is?
Joint distribution.
I know. Which gets all his money from Federation. So the head of the joint is taking us all around, and we're standing, and the car that we're driving in ran out of gas. So he stayed with me, and my husband went down with the driver to get gasoline. When two Arabs came up to us and said in Arabic, which of course I didn't understand, and neither did he, and they pushed us against the wall, and they put guns on our backs. And I thought, oh boy, this could be the end. And it was my honeymoon, and I was resentful. And I was also thinking, well, they're going to shoot us now. But all of a sudden, the French Legion arrived in all their beautiful uniforms and began to yell at the two Arabs, and they said, they're perfectly innocent people. That's what they told us later. They said, I really have no idea what they actually said, but they said it in Arabic. And we sent the two Arabs away, and my husband by that time had come up with the head of the joint and told them what happened, and they were both kind of scared in return, but it all passed. So that was one of the danger parts. Another one was when Israel was already a state and they were having a war, and I was covering the war. And journalists, most people had a hard time going from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem or Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. And I was at a party when one of the guests, his name was Mamie Dushali, and one of the famous old pioneering Russian families. He was a colonel, and that he was taking a whole convoy from Jerusalem to Latrun, which I had been at in the war. And it was one of the failures of the Israel army, so it was no man's land. So we would get to this side of Latrun, where there was a monastery of silent monks, and the UN would take them with the whole convoy, buses and cars, taxis, across the Latrun monastery to the other side, and then to Tel Aviv. So when Mamie made this announcement, I said, may I go with you, because I have work to do in Tel Aviv. He said, sure, you can come in my jeep. So the next morning, I got into Mamie Dushali's jeep with about 10 or 15 cars in this big convoy. We leave Jerusalem and drive through those beautiful mountains to the Latrun Monastery. And Mamie stops the convoy as he has to and says, you have to stay here while I get a guide and also while I talk to the Father Superior. He and one of his young aides are the only ones allowed to talk, and I'm bringing him messages from the Father. So I saw our city quiet. It was a very hot day. And he says, if you want to be more comfortable, you can come up and sit on the terrace, but you can't get into the monastery. So I said, well, it might be a little cooler up here. So I get out of the jeep, go up on the terrace, and sit quietly, enjoy the landscape, when again one Arab comes from down here on his hands and feet, and he's carrying a gun, and the gun gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and he gets pretty close to the terrace, and he begins shouting at me in Arab, and of course I don't know what he's shouting at. And he's getting angrier and angrier that I don't hear him, that I don't understand him, when Mamie hears all this racket, this man shouting. So he comes out of the talk he's having with the head of the whole monastery, and he sits next to me, and he tries to wave them down, and they just move closer. So both Mamie and I think that probably this is our last day on earth. And he keeps screaming at us, and all of a sudden, one of these young men who's allowed to speak runs out, and he yells at them, and they pay no attention to the Arab. He yells at the Arab, pays no attention. So he doesn't want, he flies. And pretty soon, a young UN man from the UN group that's staying there comes in a jeep, also flying across the field. He gets out of his jeep and he yells in Arabic at this Arab, who then backs off this way, this way, this way. And then he says to Mamie, to Shalif and me, get right into my jeep and stay on the floor, because you never know what these crazies will do. So we followed, and we were both still a little shaky. But we stayed quiet, and we stayed on the ground, and he got us to the other side of the tomb, and then we got to Tel Aviv.